What a joy it is to be here to share with you the Word of God, 4:30. Thank you. Reverend Freddie is not here. And then the service leadership also, thank you for giving me the opportunity to bring before you the Word of God and to celebrate communion with you. The gospel that was just read, Luke provides us with Mary's perspective, right, of the events that which preceded the birth of Christ. Right, that was Mary's perspective. And then we should not also be surprised because the Gospel of Matthew also provides us with Joseph's perspective of the same events, right, that occur at the same time. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, beginning from verse 18. I'll read with you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is Joseph's perspective of what happened. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. I just want to share a little bit of the background of Jewish customs. These days, we have more or less followed the Western custom, and then the guy goes on his knees. There's this surprise these days, you know, now we have your social media. They put it up, the proposal, right? And she said yes. Well, that's a very common thing. I'm not sure how many of you did that. Yeah, so that is a proposal these days that will lead to marriage. But in those days, and the Jewish custom was different, right? What will happen is the groom will leave his father's house, will come with his father's permission, go over to the bride's place, all right? And then he will want to make a covenant with them. So and everybody has agreed, the families have agreed, this is what's going to happen. And then there will be a few, So there will be a few exchanges that will lead to a covenant being made that these two will be married. And then what will happen is, at that time, they will be known as husband and wife, but they will not consummate the wedding, right? The groom will go back to his house because knowing that he's going to get married, he will go back to his house and then he will prepare for the wedding. That's why they call it the betrothal period. But they are known as husband and wife, right? It's husband and wife. So that's how it happens. So at the same time, when the groom goes and makes preparations for the wedding, that is, he will get a place to stay and he will need to renovate the house, right? And then need to prepare for the wedding. And then the woman also, the bride also does the same thing. She prepares for the wedding that is to take place. There is no fixed period of when the wedding should take place. So, both Luke and Matthew have recorded this during the betrothal period. Right? So, Joseph, being a carpenter, right, is skilled, so he prepares the home where he and Mary are going to live. And Mary feels the days preparing for the day when Joseph, her husband, is going to return. Right? And they can celebrate their marriage with their friends and family, and then they begin their life together as husband and wife. So they're so excited. Everything has been planned. Everything has been worked up. Maybe they were thinking, who are the caterers to get? I'm not sure whether they had caterers now. But those days, weddings were a week-long celebration, right? And then there were a lot of preparations, invitations to send out, right? People to invite, and they announced to everyone. So they're so excited. I'm sure for those of us who are married, will know, right? Such an exciting time, you know, I'm going to get together with my loved one. So much preparation, so much excitement, so much announcement, everything is going on. And then suddenly, God interrupts their plan. just changes everything, you know. Everything is interrupted. What happens is, God is going to give them a gift, which I'm sure at that time they really didn't want. Right? They didn't want it. Maybe, I mean, it was an unexpected gift, definitely. All the plans they had made for their life together as husband and wife is now about to go out of the window. That's it. Everything's changed. God has interrupted their plans. Have you ever had your plans interrupted in your life? Right? If you were to study my life, right, about how many times God has interrupted my life, you would have been given a PhD immediately, right? I've had so many interruptions in my life. Maybe I'll be able to share with you later if time permits. So my question to you today is, how do we respond when God interrupts our plans? We have certain things that we want to do. We want things to be done in a certain way. We have planned things in a certain way. And we know we've got everything. You know, they say, right, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. Right? So you would have planned everything. And Singaporeans, we are very good at planning things. Right? We have planned so many things. But how do we respond when that plan is interrupted? Scripture says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We may plan a lot of things, but in the end, God's purposes for our lives, it is what will stand. Mary and Joseph had all kinds of plans for their future, right? But God had something else in mind. Something that Mary and Joseph wouldn't have dreamt about, or couldn't have imagined even in their wildest dreams. But how they respond to God's interruption of their plan is very instructive to us, and that's what we're going to learn today. So let us look, there are many things, but I just want to look at two principles that we can draw from these two accounts about how to respond when God interrupts our plans. Shall we pray? Right. If you have plans that have been interrupted, you're struggling at this moment, you're wondering, you need advice, you need counsel, then I encourage you, my brother and sister, my friends, to open up your hearts to receive God's word this day, that He will speak to you, that He will instruct you, He will guide you. Would you lay your plans, your interrupted plans before God, and look to Him and trust in Him? Father, I pray that today's word will speak to us, will inspire us, and will lift up our spirits, O Lord. And Father, as we look to your word, as to understand how to respond when our plans are interrupted, Father, give us clarity in thought. Give us deep understanding. Help us to understand that you are at work in our lives. Father, even now, Father, as you bring your word, Lord, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. And may you and you alone, Jesus, be lifted up in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the first thing we can do when God interrupts our plan is to take that time to listen to God. Listening. Actually, listening is a skill. Right? We hear, but sometimes we don't listen. Two different things, right? So listening is a skill. You see, interestingly, when you look at these two gospel passages, Joseph doesn't speak a single word. Not that he doesn't speak, but it's not recorded. For some reason, they thought maybe what he had to say was not important, so never record. Right, Mary's was, Joseph, never mind. Right, so it's not recorded in any of these Gospels. But Scripture paints Joseph as a man who listened to God and also obeyed him. He listened to God and obeyed. See, once Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant and he knew he wasn't the father, he still planned to protect her identity, her dignity, sorry. Right? He wanted to protect her dignity. Right? Scripture says he planned to quietly divorce. That's why I mentioned to you earlier, even though the betrothal period, they're still considered husband and wife, they would have, if they want to separate, they must get divorced. So Joseph had planned to quietly just divorce Mary and call as little attention possible to the situation. But God had other plans, and we thank God. Fortunately, Joseph was someone who was willing to listen to God's plan before he carried out his own plan. Joseph's plan was to divorce Mary. But God had other plans. So before he acted on his plans, Joseph listened to God and he obeyed God. And we find the same character in Mary also. Right? It's not to say that Mary was not fearful when she got this instruction from God. She had some fears about what God had revealed to her. But we also get this sense, Mary was a teenager, right? History tells us that Mary was a teenager. So we get the sense that the teenager, she really desired to hear what God wanted to reveal to her, even though she was very young. So that's why we say, like, we don't put the young people aside, right? God even speaks to the young people. God even uses the young people. So young people are very precious to us. But Mary was interested to hear what God was about to reveal to her. She listened to everything the angel had to tell before making any rash judgments or jumping to conclusion, foolish conclusions. She heard. She didn't make her own conclusion. She heard out everything God had to say through the angel. But unfortunately, there are many Christians that seem to take the exact opposite approach. When God interrupts our plans, when things don't go as we have planned it, as we would have wanted it, we go the other direction. Of course, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about people from other services, other church. I don't think y'all are like this, lah. Yeah, so... Yeah, sometimes we do that, right? We take the opposite approach. Instead of running to God, we run away from Him. See, God interrupts their plan. Instead of seeking to listen to God, right? They avoid Him because they are afraid that they might hear something else from God. See, I want to share with you my own life experience. I was posted to St. Andrew's Cathedral 1st October this year. And the original plan was to send me to Cathedral in January 2014. It was 4 years ago. So what happened was, I finished my Bible school, 2014. I was supposed to be posted to Cathedral to start the Tamil work. And then there were a lot of changes. And then I was still waiting and waiting. Bishop told me, I'm sending to Cathedral. Okay. And then we waited. The whole family were waiting. And then it didn't turn out. I was at my home church. Then Bishop said, wait. I was at My Savior's Church. Said, wait. And then I got an email saying that I'm going to be posted out to Chapel of the Holy Spirit. I was shocked. I was troubled. And I said, why there? I was preparing mentally, spiritually. Whole family were preparing to go to Cathedral. Then sent to Chapel of the Holy Spirit. And then there was a smaller Tamil group. Because I was from the Tamil board. Small Tamil group. So I was so okay, never mind. I was a bit disappointed. But we still persevered, and then we were posted there. And Bishop said, you'll be there for about 3 years. 3 years. So I was working hard. Okay, 3 years. Okay, I got to sit down and plan and work things out. This is how it's going to be. And then the ministry grew. When I took over, there was about 13. And then 7 months later, not say 7 months later, 4 months later, Bishop calls me and said, sorry, change of plans. In 3 months' time, I'm sending you to Chapel of Christ the Redeemer. What? This was in a total of 7 months only in Chapel of the Holy Spirit. Only 7 months. Hardly didn't do anything. We were shocked. We were broken. I was in tears because I thought we were planning something. It was working out. And then we were very disappointed. The whole family were shocked. And Chapel of Christ Redeemer was an English congregation. I was from the Tamil board. English congregation. And there was no vicar. They were waiting for a vicar to come in. So I had to go interim to look after the church. So it was a struggle. And then Bishop said, you'll be there only for a few months. About 6 months, he said. 6 months, the new vicar will come. So waiting and waiting altogether, about 5-6 months. So I was there for 3 years. Yeah, so things like this happen. And then the thing is that when I was told that from Chapel of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be posted to Chapel of Christ the Redeemer, I shared this with a brother. Innocently, I shared with him. But I thank God at the time God gave me the wisdom not to listen to him. He gave me such bad advice. Even to the point he told me, resign. He said, you resign. I can get you a job that will pay you a good salary and all that. So resign and all that. So when he shared, I was already worked up and upset. And when I received this kind of advice, you know what happens, right? tendency is you will lean towards that advice, right? Because you're already broken and disappointed and you're hurt when you're hurting. And then he told me this advice, then I was troubled. In my mind, I was playing this in my mind. Yeah, maybe I should submit my resignation to show them that I'm unhappy. But I took my time and I waited. I discussed this with my family and then with some other pastors that I knew. They gave me sound advice. And I waited. I waited upon the Lord. And I was wondering that 3 years that I was at the Chapel of Christ the Redeemer, it prepared me. The church helped to mold me, to build up my pastoral skills, taught me how to be a pastor. And then now I'm here to start a Tamil work. So it was a lot of learning experience. But I thank God that I did not take the very bad advice that I got. We must learn to listen to what God says. God says the moment we have a interruption like this, we have a distraction like this. You see, some of us, we don't want to hear from God, because we've got certain plans, right? Because I want to do this, I want to build my career, I want to buy this house here, and I want to start a family. But we don't want to hear from God because we are afraid that God will call us and say, if we hear from God, he'll call and say, no, I'm going to send you to the jungles of South Africa. I said, no, cannot. I'm already planning to stay in Singapore. You know, I worked so hard to build this. So we don't want to listen to what God has to say. And that is why when our plans are disrupted, are interrupted, we refuse to listen to what God has to say. And we carry on with what we want to do. And that is when we get into trouble. And then when we get into trouble, we blame God, right? Oh, you got no eyes to see, you got no ears to hear. Right? I'm like this because you never answer my prayer, you know? Yeah. Again, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about... yeah. Some of us don't want to hear what God has to say. But here, in Scripture, God reveals to us about his plans for us. We know this Scripture verse very well by heart, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. Give you a future and a hope. See, God's plans for us is always good. He will never plan something bad for us. He interrupts our plans to give us a better future. He never interrupts us so that we will end up in trouble or things will turn out bad for us. You see, if for some reason, God's plans for you is for you to go and minister to him in the jungles of South Africa or South America, right? Even then, it will still be good for you. And it will still be good for others. It will still be a good plan. From where we stand, Africa, third world country, cannot. But God has his best for you. We must learn to trust in that. But the real question this afternoon is this. How do I listen to God? How do I listen to him? How do I listen to what he has to say? Okay, God may not always speak to us like how he spoke to Joseph and Mary. An angel appears and says, I'm going to do this, or in your sleep. It may not happen all the time, but it may happen. Right? It may happen. So when God interrupts our plans, there are two places we can turn to how to listen to God. The first one is through the living word of God, through his word. See, the first thing we need to do when God interrupts our plans is to turn to his word. Turn to the Bible. It is through the scriptures that God can develop our faith, which is exactly what we need in those times. Because you know why? Plans are interrupted. We are very worked up. We are very anxious and distressed. And that is when we need God's word even more. We need to spend time in God's word. I was mentioning to you when I was, change of plans, when I was supposed to be posted to the Chapel of Christ the Redeemer, I went out to the Lord and I cried out. But I turned to his word and said, Lord, what are you telling me through this change? I knew I needed strength from God's word because I know otherwise I'll be very weak and I'll be very exposed to the attempt of the enemy to bring me down. So I turned to God's word. I spent a lot of time in his word, meditating in his word. Paul says this. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Okay, we're not going to get the same type of revelation that Mary and Joseph got from the Bible. But we will find there is a revelation of God's character in the scriptures. We find a revelation of his plans of his ways in the scripture. That's how you want to know God. Many years ago, when I went to Sri Lanka for a mission trip, we were praying, and then one brother came forward and said, "Brother, give me a word from the Lord." I was a bit shocked. I said, "What word are you asking? What do you mean by give me a word?" I was very tempted to take the whole Bible and say, "This is the word of God," isn't it? But I just wanted a word, right? So it's not just like that, not just going to people and asking them for a word, but reading the word for ourselves, right? Through the scriptures, we learn God's character, God's plan. We learn who God is. And then we align our own lives, our own thoughts to his plan, to his character. That is what scripture does for us as we spend time in his word. Right? All these attributes of God is indispensable for us when we are totally seeking to respond correctly when our plans are interrupted. You see, the best way is not to wait until when our plans are interrupted, then we turn to the word of God. When you are interrupted, don't go to the word then. Do it even before. Saturate your life ahead with the word of God. Fill your life with the word of God. Guard your heart, guard your minds with the word of God. Paul here says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another. Sometimes we use the scriptures to admonish one another. We do that. Right? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. Dwell in the word of God. Let God's word saturate. Don't wait for an interruption. Then you turn to the word of God. Do it now. Do it today. Do it today. Start reading God's word daily, on a daily basis. You will never lose. Never find time to spend time with the word of God. Make time. Because if you were to find time, you will never find it. Make time for God's word. So let us be consistently saturated in the word of God. So when crisis comes, you will know what direction to take and how to respond. Another thing that we need to do is through prayer. Listening to God through prayer. First, listening to God through his word. Secondly, listening to God through prayer. Right? You know, when we quieten ourselves down and come into the presence in prayer, we have greater access to what God has for us. Quieten down. That's why it's good for you to go for a personal retreat. Right? The psalmist says in Psalms 86 and 87, "In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord answered me and set me free." My friends, turn your worry into prayers. Turn your anxieties into prayers. Turn your distress into prayers. When we take time to call upon God in prayer, he's able to answer us. Right? Are you distressed today? Are you troubled? Are you anxious? Are you worried about something? Will you turn to God in prayer? Will you bring it before him and say, "Lord, this is my situation. This is what I'm going through, Lord." And then we wait upon the Lord and listen to him and say, "Lord, what are you telling me about this?" Right? When we go before God, right, don't bring your laundry list of things. "Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And since now you've interrupted my plan, I want you to do this for me." Right? "Since you're interrupted, so I want you to do this. I want you to settle this like this. Lord, my plans are interrupted, so I think you should answer me this way." You know, we like to advise God, right? "Lord, you answer me this way. Lord, you do this for me." We don't go to God with a laundry list. Just present your situation before God and say, "Lord, what are you telling me through this situation?" Because there's always a learning opportunity. God uses every opportunity to teach us, to minister to us, to mold us, to develop us. Go with a humble heart, desiring to hear from God. And don't just stop there with the word and listening. There's another thing that Joseph and Mary did. What we did was a very, very important thing. What they did was surrendered, this is my last point, surrendered their will to God's will. And that is what we should do. Surrender my will to God's will. Sometimes in church, you are guilty of this. We tell everyone, "Come to Jesus, all your problems will be solved. Come to Jesus, everything will be settled, no problem." Right? You come to Jesus, you'll be smiling all the time. You'll be happy all the time. Right? And you tell everything will be okay. But that certainly wasn't what Joseph and Mary experienced, right? Though they had everything planned out just right, Joseph was building a home for them to live, and Mary was preparing the days. So they must have had their dream, right? They're going to settle down in Nazareth and live a simple life. That's what they thought. And Joseph would use his skills to build his house. No, he was a carpenter. And Mary would prepare the house, prepare the children, get ready to bring children into this world, bring up their children, so much desires and plans. But God turned everything upside down. And then they would now have to live with the shame of pregnancy, right, prior to wedding. And then they spent the first year of their life traveling around, Remember they went to Nazareth, then Bethlehem, and then to Egypt, and then Herod was, Herod's edict. So there was a lot of issues. So they were running, right? All their plans gone, The plans of settling down and being at peace, all this was gone, right? And although they understood that their lives were about to change drastically, they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, right? They didn't know what they were getting into. But they were willing to trust all of this to God, even though they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They didn't know the details. They surrendered their own plans. They surrendered their own will to God's will. Will we do that? Sometimes it's very difficult, not knowing what's going to happen and then trusting someone. Very difficult. So in Mary's case, it's indicated by her words. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Isn't that beautiful? You know the Don Moon song? Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I will stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. It's a very difficult thing to say. According to your will, O God, be it unto me. Because you're surrendering everything, your plans, your future, everything, uncertain future, surrendering before God. It's dangerous, painful, difficult. Mary understood because she was a servant. And she knew servants do not have any rights. They don't have a will. Right? They surrendered everything. That's what Mary understood. She surrendered everything to him. She was saying that she's willing to surrender to God, to God's plan for her life, regardless of what will happen, regardless of the danger, the inconvenience, right, the uncertainties. Joseph was also like that, a man of few words, but his actions showed that he was a man who was willing to submit to God, surrender everything to him, surrender to the will of God. Joseph will never get to experience the joys of wedding, the whole wedding thing, no experience. Right? He doesn't have the joy of going and then getting his wife. All these things he would miss. Right? In fact, he will also face a lot of embarrassment, humiliation. But in the midst of all these things, Joseph chose to obey God and follow God. He knew that it would not be easy. He remained righteous throughout. When God interrupts our plans, choosing to surrender our will to his will is usually not easy. In fact, God has never promised an easy path for us. Jesus never made it easy for those who were willing to follow him, who wanted to follow him. When he called the disciples, he demanded that they immediately give up their way of life, occupations even their families also, for some of them. He told them that if you wanted to follow me, you must die to yourself daily. But God does promise that if we surrender to his will, he will be with us all the way, no matter how difficult things might get. He promises us, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. That means you and I are preserved by God himself. Jesus promised that we would face tribulation in this world if we choose to surrender to his will. Right? But in the end, it will all be worth it. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God has a plan for you and me. One that existed even before we were created. And this afternoon, I want to ask, will you commit to take time to listen to God through His Word and through prayer? Will you surrender to your will, your will to His, even though they may not be easy or comfortable? And will you commit to become whatever God wants you to be? Trusting in Him, knowing that He will equip you for what He has called you for. Will you trust in the Lord no matter what? Trust in Him enough not to be anxious or worried. Can I ask the worship team to come up? Will you trust Him even when you don't understand what's going on? When you don't know what's going on, when you're not clear, will you still trust Him? Because we are living in a world where you want to understand things, you want to know things. But even if you don't know, will you understand? Will you trust Him? Trust Him enough to let go and lay everything at His feet. Trust Him enough even if your faith is ridiculed. Joseph and Mary trusted, they didn't understand, but they trusted in God. The enemy doesn't want you to trust in God. He will throw all kinds of things and thoughts at you. You know, sometimes God doesn't want us to know the journey we are on because you know it can be scary. So that's why He doesn't reveal to us everything. He reveals in parts. But will you trust God fully, even if you don't understand, even if you don't know what's happening? Will you trust? As we sing this song, with our eyes closed and our hearts opened to God, I don't know what you're going through, whatever your challenges may be today. Would you learn to trust in Him, that He will see you through? Don't be quick or do not rush to make your own decision or plan things on your own or seek advice from the world or find a solution from the world. But will you learn to just wait upon the Lord and trust in Him? Trust in Him that He has the best plan for your life. You may not see it now, but He has the best plan for your life. Will you trust in Him? As we're singing this song, if you need prayer, then can I encourage you to come forward to receive prayer as we continue to worship God.